Hello all, good afternoon. My name is Neeraja. I'm a student from the Indian Institute of Science, Bangalore, India. Today I'll talk about discovery of application workloads from network file traces. This is a joint work with Chiranjeev Bhattacharya, K. Gopinath, Thirumalai Niranjan, and Sai Susarla. This work is carried out in affiliation with NetApp. The storage systems can exploit the high-level semantic knowledge of the workloads that are running on them in several ways, say for better prefetching, for provenance mining, or even for anomaly detection, the anomalous behavior detection of the client. To explain it in a very simple example, let's assume that our file system knows that a source code compilation is running. It can infer from that many things, like many header files are going to be accessed in a sequential manner, that an object file is going to be generated and used very soon, also that this object file is just an intermediate link between the source code and the final executable. However, the storage system gets to see only the opcodes or the operations coming in from the clients. And it's impractical to ask the network protocols to extend themselves to transfer such semantic level information to the storage systems explicitly. So we set out ourselves to solve a problem which is like this. Can we build a mechanism which, once trained on the applications and the traces that they generate, will be able to identify the future occurrences of those workloads just by looking at the lower level I/O characteristics? To say it simply, can we figure out that a source code is being compiled or a TPCC or postmark-like operations are executing on the client? We have taken the initial step towards solving all such problems by looking at just the opcodes that are available in the NFS trace headers. We are trying to identify workloads. We are trying to mark out the boundaries of those workloads in the traces. And we are trying to do this using the small snippets of these workloads. As part of this work, we have also have exploited an analogy which between the NFS analysis and the biological sequence analysis problem. We show that powerful techniques which are routinely used in the biological domain, like the profile hidden Markov models, can be very useful for trace analysis. Amongst all the possible fields available in the NFS trace, a snippet shown here, we focused on the opcodes field here, which is highlighted here. That leaves us with a sequence of opcodes. The first question that we asked ourselves was that, can we identify which workload or which Unix command, say, might have generated this trace of opcodes? It was generated by copy, say here in this example. We term this task as workload identification. To make this problem even more interesting and challenging, let's say this trace of opcodes is generated by running workloads one after the other. We asked ourselves, can we figure out that this was generated due to running a copy and grape followed by that? Also that it would be even more interesting to know the exact boundaries of the traces that these workloads have generated. These are shown here in orange dotted lines. This task of annotating this trace with the information of the workloads and the boundaries of them, we call it as trace annotation. Moving further, what happens if we do not have the complete trace, which can be the scenario in many cases because we will not have the knowledge where to start and stop the capture of a trace? We decided to look at a random snippet of the trace in between, which is part shown here in oval, and still say that this whole trace was generated by a particular workload, copy in this case. We term this task as partial trace analysis. Moving further, as the diagram that I shown previously, two slides back, it said that there can be multiple clients, and those clients will be running multiple applications simultaneously. Based on the IP address that is there in this NFS trace, we can easily separate out the traces generated by one particular client. And this client is, say, in this example, a desktop client is running four applications simultaneously. We picked up the task of the trace that such a client generates, and we want to say that, and we want to say that this trace was generated by running workload 1, 2, and 3 simultaneously at this client. We term this task as concurrent workload identification. Now that I've given the define the scope of the problem that we are handling, let me go further and say which challenges we faced, how did we overcome them using the profile hidden Markov models, and we evaluate ourselves. Let's look at this example very carefully. These are the traces generated by a copy command, by two copy commands. The left-hand side trace is generated by copying a file to its current location, and the right-hand side trace is generated by copying the file to some other location. We can see that the traces look very much similar. We are focusing on the opcodes, and it can be easily spotted due to the red color that there is an extra lookup operation over there. So the point here is, even though these traces were generated by the same command, they show variability in the traces. This variability, like addition, deletion of operations, etc., was observed in when we have different parameters for the same command. So the problem is that we still want to classify these traces to be generated by the same workload. We do not want to distinguish based on these differences. So for sure, we cannot directly compare them for an exact match. Now rather than comparing the opcode traces, we decided to represent each and every opcode with a unique symbol. Say, for example, I'll represent access by A, lookup by L, get attribute by L, G, for example. That leaves me with two sequences like this. We have run some editing operations on text files, and these traces were generated by those edit operations. Now, the problem here is that we have two traces, and we want to say how similar they are. Can we arrange them in such a way that the similarities between them get highlighted and the differences get minimized? Let's try doing this match operation between these two sequences. So since we are using the two sequences in their entirety, this kind of arrangement is popularly known as global alignment. Now let's move further to a slight variation of this problem. What if we have a big sequence, the second sequence here, and we want to say we want to figure out the smaller sequence, the first sequence, where does it match maximally? Which subsequence of the bigger sequence matches maximally to the smaller sequence? Let's try doing that. This kind of arrangement is popularly known as local alignment. We'll need these two definitions soon. Now, all this was possible and required when we have just two sequences to be compared. What we have at hand is a bunch of sequences generated by a workload, and we want to figure out what is that. What is similarity? What is the most similar thing between them? Now, here I'm showing as an example of 8 traces generated by editing text files, and they are aligned multiply over here. As expected, these traces show much of similarity, and this similarity is highlighted by the red columns. We expect these symbols to be there at those positions most of the times. We say that this multiple alignment is representing the profile of a workload. Unfortunately, the dynamic programming formulation that is required for solving multiple alignment of sequences is highly expensive. We cannot use this as a direct solution to our problem. Now we started to look out if there is somebody else out there facing the similar problems. We noticed that, yes, biologists do face such problems. The structure of biological sequences like the RNA, DNA, protein sequences defines their functionality. And we started to figure out the similarity between the problem at hand and the computational biology problems. We observed that the biological sequences are conserved in critical regions. Similarly, with the NFS traces generated by the same workload, we could see that there is a similarity to a larger extent. Also that over evolution, the biological sequences, even though they belong to the same family, are diverged due to chance mutations or additions and deletions of symbols. Similarly, we observed that even though, just now we had seen that, even though it was the same command copy, we could see there were variations due to additions, mutations, deletions. We confirmed our analogy by carrying out preliminary experiments by using alignments, and the results were encouraging. This opened door for us to the highly advanced and still emerging techniques at the intersection of computational biology and computer science. We propose here to use a very powerful technique known as profile hidden Markov model for representing profile of a workload. Now, what is this profile hidden Markov model? Let's say these three sequences were generated as an example. This is just an example. Let's say these three sequences were generated by some workload. And so obviously I want to say that or classify these to be generated by the same workload. Let's try to build a model, or to say I'm going to build a profile hidden Markov model, which is simply stated it's a probabilistic state machine. Let's focus on the first sequence over here, ALIGN. Say I build this model. The begin and end states are the dummy states, and all the other states, M1, M2, M5, are the states which are producing at least a match symbol in that sequence we are focusing on, ALIGN. That is the reason these states are called as match states. The transitions here are very simple. They are only going from the current state to the next state. Let's move on to the second sequence that we have, AALIGN. Simply saying, it is asking me to insert an extra A before the first A of the previous sequence. So it is asking me to do such an operation where I have another state here. Before going from begin to M1, I can go to that state, visit that state, and emit a symbol over there. Now I can have multiple symbols over there, not just A. To take care of such scenarios, I'll put a loop over here. With that model at hand, I forgot to mention that since I am inserting using such states, such blue-colored states, these are known as insert states. Let's have this model at hand and move further to the third sequence that we had in our multiple alignment, LIGN. Again, simply it is asking me to jump from the begin state to M2, deleting the first symbol A that we have. Let me put such a state. Since this state is deleting the first A, we call such states as delete states. Now here I'm, as an example, I'm showing the probabilities attached with the different activities that these models do. The solid arrows are showing the transition probabilities, and the transition probabilities are between the states, basically. And the dotted arrows are showing the emission probabilities. Being in a state, these models can emit symbols with different probabilities. So when I say that I'm building a model, all I mean is that I'm learning these parameters, the transition probabilities, and the emission probabilities from the data. Now, let me move to, this was the transition structure when I'm only looking at the first symbol in my multiple alignment. Let me move further to the second symbol. These are the all possible transitions over here. Unrolling it, this is the complete structure of the profile hidden Markov model. We can observe that the transitions are only going from left to right. That's the reason these are also known as left-right hidden Markov models. If we compare these to the completely linked state machines, we can observe that the transition matrix is for sure going to be very sparse, giving rise to faster inference. Let's see now how do we achieve workload identification using profile hidden Markov models. So for every workload of our interest, we'll build a profile hidden Markov models, as I explained just now. So we have these models, meaning we have the parameters for all these models, all these workloads. Now, I am faced with a new trace, which is not amongst the ones I trained myself on. A new trace, I want to say which workload might have generated it. Logically, what will I do? Try to do is I'll try to match the new sequence with the profiles of these workloads. And I'll predict the maximum similar profile to be generating the new test trace. So that's what it tries to say. As per the explanation of global alignment, we are trying to compute the global alignment of the profiles of workloads to the new trace. Similarly, about the trace annotation, again, we have the models built with us, and the input here is that we have a big trace generated by running workloads one after the other, and we want to say where a particular workload has taken place. So isn't this problem very similar to finding out a smaller sequence in the bigger sequence, the local alignment? So we will have the profile of each workload, and we'll try to figure out where does it get matched to the bigger sequence maximally. So effectively, as per the definition, we are computing local alignment of each profile with the test sequence. Schematically, this is the overflow of our system. We have NFS opcodes, NFS opcode training sequences for every workload. We alphabetize them to form a symbol sequence and build them. We arrange them in a multiple aligned format because our profile hidden Markov model is built on top of the multiple alignment. With this, this is the training phase. As the output of this training phase, all we have is the profile hidden Markov models built for all the workloads of our interest. Now we have a test trace. which we again convert to a symbol sequence, and run a search using the PHMMs, profile hidden Markov models, that we generated in the training phase. We post-process the output, and we give the final annotation. Let's move on to the experimental setup and evaluate ourselves. We have evaluated this technique on popularly used Unix commands like tar and tar make, etc. And these commands are basically accessing a subset of around 14,000 files, which are arranged in 7 levels deep structure, comprising of around 1,500 directories. We also have evaluated ourselves our technique on more realistic workloads like TPCC, which is a database transactional benchmark, and Postmark, which is approximating a large internet email server. Let's see how good is our workload identification. We represent our results in the form of a confusion matrix. The top row here is giving the predictions by profile hidden Markov model, and the leftmost column is giving the actuals. All these are the percentages. The very first figure in the green color, 91.7%, means that we were able to identify make accurately as make 91.7% of the time. The diagonal entries here are significant. Closer they are to 100, better are the results, and we can see that we have done pretty good in this. We can obviously see that there are certain anomalies, like the one highlighted in red here, 9%, which means that it was copy, but we identified it wrongly as edit 9% of the times. Upon closer inspection, we could see that copying a single file, the traces generated by such an operation were very much similar to the edit operations. That might have confused the profile HMMs to these misclassifications. I would like to mention that if we consider find and tar, their functionality is that they need to traverse the entire directory structure. The only difference is that tar has to write towards the end in order to generate the tarred file. So if we look at the traces, 80% of them, 80% of the part is really similar. But this 20% of the difference was sufficient for profile HMM to distinguish find from tar 100% of the time. Another thing is that the results depend on how good our models are. When we manually selected the grape traces in order to contain diverse and representative good set of training traces, we could achieve improvement in our accuracy from 72% to 85%, which is shown here. So it depends on how good the model is. Moving further, let's imagine that a user is downloading a source package. If it is a tarball, he will untar it, he'll do a make, he'll edit some files, he'll again do a make, and he'll form the tarball, running a tar operation. So the bar at the bottom is giving the actual annotation, actually the trace generated by the actual operations one after the other, untar, make, edit, make, and tar again. And the bars above that are giving the annotations that our profile HMM has done. We can see that we are pretty good in giving the overall picture over here. Now, in order to have some significance to our results, we have done extensive experimentation in which we have generated 100 traces. Each of them is generated by running 100 workloads one after the other. In them, on average, 86% of the opcodes were correctly identified. 10% of them were wrongly identified, and 4% of them were unrecognized by the profile HMMs. Moving further, as I mentioned, the problem that we may not have the complete trace at hand, and we may have to look at random snippets from them, the oval picture. On the x-axis, what we see is the percentage length of the traces, the snippets that we have, and the y-axis is the detection accuracy. So we can see that with 20% length of the traces, we could identify most of the workloads pretty accurately. This graph is basically trying to capture the sensitivity of profile HMMs towards the length of the snippets that we can use. We can obviously see that the very bottom curve there, which is generated by MOVE, it's like behaving as an outlier. It's crawling up very slowly towards 90% of the accuracy. The reason is that MOVE itself produces very small traces in the first place. So profile HMM has to consider a bigger part of that trace to predict it accurately. When we say that we are capable of doing these operations using the snippets of traces, we say that the snippets has to be as small as at least tens of opcodes together, consecutive. Moving further, this diagram is, if you remember, the desktop client running four applications simultaneously. So here, x-axis is showing number of concurrent streams, number of simultaneous operations that the client might be doing, and y-axis is giving the annotation accuracy. We can, the accuracy, unfortunately, is going on decreasing linearly over here, the blue bars. But interestingly, what is increasing is the unrecognized part by profile HMMs and not the wrongly identified parts. The ability of profile HMM to just reject the input in case it is not confident enough enables us to rely on its output. Another thing is that even if we know, given a time frame, what the client was doing, would be a great achievement. It would be a great thing to know. We are able to do that. In the past, people have known this fact that the traces contain a lot of information, and they have used this information to improve the storage performance as well. Some of them have even recognized that, even discovered that the machine learning tools, especially the hidden Markov models, are useful in analyzing the I/O patterns in order to improve the prefetching, etc. mechanisms. Our problem is slightly different than those because we are focusing on figuring out high-level operations just by looking at the low-level I/O traces. To conclude, here are the takeaways from our work. Basically, the traces, the NFS traces, contain much of information to allow us to infer from them the workload as well as the boundaries that they set. Apart from, I would like to say it that using just the opcodes, we are doing all these analysis, and we have come up with a profile hidden Markov model-based methodology for analysis of NFS traces. We are successful at identifying the high-level workloads as well as mark the regions of these workloads in a trace. We are doing it using even small amount of traces also. As I said, as and when the interleaving of operations goes on increasing, we are not able to annotate the traces accurately. We would like to do that as a future work. Also that we have just used the opcodes, we would like to go ahead and see if the other fields that are available in the traces could fetch us some other more interesting information. Say, for example, can we figure out the parameters to the workload? Say, for example, if right now we are able to say it's a copy, can we say copy with which file, where, etc. things? We'd like to see this in future. I invite you to see our website for dataset source code and things. Thank you.
This is really cool. So I'm interested in sort of what you're thinking about in terms of future work, in that are you limiting yourself only to what you see in the traces, or are you opening up the possibility that the server itself might start retaining more information that you might be able to use to do an even better job?
As of now, we are just focusing on the traces. That's a good suggestion. We'll surely look into it.
Irfan Ahmed, VMware, also like the work. Also questions about future work. Can you speculate how far we can take this? For example, for TPCC, would you be able to take this work and even identify different types of queries that are being executed?
That's a part of... continue.
Do you have a way that you can speculate? And the related question to that is, do you think that the techniques would apply not just to NFS but also to block traces?
Yes. Both the things. We surely had tried to identify the queries, like insert, update, distinguish them from each other looking at the TPCC traces. But the problem here is that we are just focusing on the opcodes. And if it is, these queries are mostly similar to each other if we are just looking at the opcodes. We surely can do this job if we can consider the other fields that are available in the NFS traces. That's what our future work is trying to say. We are considering the other.
And then block level?
Right now we are focused on the NFS traces only. We'll see in future.